Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Hello and welcome to Baseball America's Draft Podcast. I'm Carlos Clazo, joined by Peter Flaherty in the new year. It's 2025, Peter, our first episode of this new year. Welcome back. How's it going?
Good. I'm fired up to be back. Today is, I'll always long for the, you know, baseball season and in particular college season during the winter months, but there are a handful of days where I'll get the itch, kind of an extra amount. And today's one of those days. It's like 19 degrees in Boston with a wind chill of 0 to 2 degrees. So I'm just holed up, kind of in that like cave mentality and longing for warmer days, but I'm fired up to be back on the podcast after a little hiatus. And, now it's when it starts to get a little more fast paced, which I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, kind of in the same mindset as you are right now. It's like 25 degrees here and windy in Northern Virginia. We've got, I think, like close to a foot of snow on the ground, which I think we have more snow than you, which
I'm jealous. I love the snow. I've mentioned it a couple of times.
I'll happily push it up there to you instead of me.
No, I love it. So, I mean, we'll take a few extra inches.
Yeah, so it's January for us. That feels like it's always a really busy time of year. We've got a lot of content coming out on the site. We're gearing up for the college season. The fact that we're excited about college baseball and get to cover it, I think, is a lot of fun because these are kind of the worst period for people who are waiting for the big league game to come up. There's not a lot of action happening in the off season. Typically, there's still a pretty decent wait for any sort of real baseball. Spring training action really doesn't do too much for me at this point, since when spring training is going on, we're kind of watching real games taking place in college. ABCA this year was a first time event for me. I actually got to meet you in person. Finally, Peter, we've been doing this podcast for what, like 2 years now?
Coming up on 2 years. It was actually crazy.
Yeah, so that was a fun event to go to. I'd never been to it before, but it was in D.C. this year, so it feels like it would have been malpractice for me not to run over there. I didn't really know what to expect. I didn't have any expectations going into it. I mostly just wanted to go and soak up as much information as I could, get together with you and Jacob and JJ on the BA team. It's always nice when we get just some BA members together since everyone's kind of scattered around the country. So that was cool. I don't know if you have any like specific takeaways from ABCA, but what were your thoughts on this year's event?
Yeah, I think the selfishly the biggest personal highlight was getting to meet you and JJ and Jacob for the first time. Like you said, it's kind of crazy. We've been doing this podcast and I haven't been at BA now for over 2 years, which is nuts. And that was the first time I met anyone outside of Jeff and Ben, part of the two-thirds or I don't even know what number we're at over the Massachusetts.
I think we're like at I think we're at least five. It's you, Ben, Jeff, Mark, and Dan are all Massachusetts, right?
Yeah, it's crazy. But outside of Jeff and Ben, that was the first time meeting anyone, which was a lot of fun. It was my second ABCA. And I saw someone say it on Twitter in the lead up to it, and it was kind of the perfect description, at least I felt looking back on it, where it's almost like the ultimate battery recharger. I wish I knew who said it. It's like kind of pay them their dues, but someone phrased it like that, and I think that's a great way to look at it, because we're, you know, you're fresh off the holidays, everyone's a little drained, it's the winter for everyone, it's dark, it's cold, and you kind of go to this, you kind of make this pilgrimage to one central spot, and you're around so many like-minded people who are just as passionate about baseball. And my mentality there and in a lot of other spots too, is to kind of just be a sponge. You're around so many knowledgeable people in the game, whether it's coaches, scouts, coaches at all levels. So I was really fired up to just learn a lot and hear from some of the best minds in the game. We were able to hear from Coach Vitello, head coach of Tennessee, fresh off its national championship. He gave a really great talk, kind of just a little bit of a peek under the hood into their locker room and the ebbs and flows of a national championship winning season and how it's obviously not all sunshine and rainbows and the mentality that goes into that. And then personally, a talk that I really liked was Coach Blankmeyer, who handles the infielders. And
Ty Blankmeyer.
Yeah, Coach Ty Blankmeyer at Vanderbilt handles the infielders and is their recruiting coordinator. I'm a huge fan of his, and he dropped some serious knowledge. So I came away from it just really excited about everything. I'm not sure if you had any other takeaways, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's kind of like drinking out of a fire hose, but you talk to so many people and are able to grab like so many little nuggets from just 2-3 days. So yeah, there really isn't anything else like it around.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I thought it was a lot of fun. I mean, my plan going in was to just hang with you guys and then attend all of the clinics and talks that sounded interesting. I mean, for those who are not aware of what ABC is, it's the American Baseball Coaches Association convention. I think this was like the 81st year that it's happened. It's 81. I think that's the right number, but a bunch of coaches all descend. And it's like a massive convention, high school coaches, college coaches, people who are trying to learn about the game. Obviously, a lot of it is geared towards coaching, a lot of like informational events about coaching specifically. So hearing from guys like Vitello and Blankmeyer, who you mentioned, their talks on like movement and biomechanics. One of my favorite talks was John Soteropoulos with the Red Sox. He's their hitting instructor. He had a talk on hit tracks specifically and did a sort of case study on Christian Campbell and how they were able to identify some of his skills and improve his posture and just work on hitting development with hit tracks. And I thought that was super fascinating. One of the better conference or one of the better talks from my point of view, just the information and like the very nitty gritty detailed process of adjusting Campbell's swing, adding power, optimizing his bat angle. It was all super interesting. That was fun. And obviously, I don't know, for anyone who has ever been around JJ at these sort of conventions, it is very fun to just tag with him, tag along and just see what he gets into. The trade show floor doesn't really do a ton for me. There's just a ton of tech companies at this point. I feel like it's like 90% tech companies in the baseball space. It's fun to look at everything, but if you follow JJ Cooper around a trade show at the ABCA, you're definitely going to have a really good experience. And this year he stumbled onto a new grip tester. Essentially the idea is to test for the strength of forearms with pitchers and basically see like, are you strong enough to throw the velocity you're throwing? Are there any imbalances and weaknesses that we should be aware of to prevent injuries to your elbow ligament? So I'm sure he's going to be writing something about that in the future, but that was fun. Yeah, I mean, just being around a lot of baseball people definitely gets you fired up and ready for the season. I think by the end of the convention, I was definitely ready to get out to a field because there's just so much talk about baseball and I want to watch it at this point. And I think largely that's what January is for us. It's a lot of, I mean, for me, I'm kind of going through the process right now of updating our draft list. So we haven't updated. We'll go from top 100 to top 200 in early February. Just so we have kind of our starting point preseason and we're ready to go. So those conversations and diving into those players really gets me just amped up to see the players that I maybe haven't seen as frequently or to see the changes that some players are going to make where like just addressing different areas of weakness or really just watching baseball. I mean, at this point, we've been talking a lot about baseball and not able to see it. So we're kind of getting towards the end of that. And I'm really fired up. I've got some things on the calendar now for early season in college. There's some workouts even before that I'm planning to go to here in the Mid-Atlantic area. So, yeah, it's that kind of antsy, high energy feeling right now for me.
Yeah, I think I'm right there with you. It's a lot of itch scratching, so to speak, for the next month plus. But it sneaks up on you quick. I like seeing all the Instagram posts of and Twitter posts of like the college teams being like 50 days away and now we're down to like 36. It puts it into perspective how close it is. So, and once it gets going, I mean, it, especially for me, you, Jacob, anyone on the amateur side at all involved, it's, I mean, you get kind of 0 to 100 for 4+ months, and we kind of roll right into the summer with the Cape and USA, and as quickly as it comes, it goes just as fast. So I got to do a better job of soaking up the season, and kind of a phrase my dad coined, I got to stop blinking. So it goes by fast. But I'm really looking forward to it. And like, to kind of put a bow on it, the ABCA really did get me extra juiced up. And there were just so many interesting topics thrown around and ideologies. Like, you, that setting is so unique, being able to learn from guys like Coach Hart, Coach Chris Hart from NC State, who's one of the, I think, one of the better hitting minds and hitting coaches in the game, and the Wolfpack approach, and circling back to Coach Blankmeyer, the idea of his talk, the root of it being, you know, everything comes back to playing catch and athletic catch play, having guys do these more like fun type of throws, like the Jeter jump throws, QB dropbacks, kind of deviating your slots up. You kind of build arm strength and endurance. You can work on exchanges and transfers.
That made me want to go take fungo, because when I was playing high school ball, I just loved just fielding ground balls. I could do that for like 3 hours. And I was like, man, get me out there in front of a fungo hitter.
Hey, he's an 80 fungo hitter too. If you stuck a fungo in his hand, he'd hit. Yeah, he hit fungos to everyone on the trade show.
If you guys are listening and you're planning to watch more college ball and you have a chance to get out and see Vanderbilt in person specifically, it might be worth going early to try and just see Vanderbilt's IO, because they have one of the more intense IO routines of any college team, really any team that I've been around. It's a lot of fun to watch. It's very up tempo. It's very high pace. There's balls going everywhere. It is not your typical, we're going to go one position at a time, run through the motions. It's a lot of fun to watch. It's almost like there's too much happening. You can't really focus on anything, but definitely would recommend, if you guys have a chance to see Vandy. I can't imagine they're going to not be doing that.
Oh yeah. Even more so. And like with baseball, like, so many little things get me a little extra fired up. Nothing gets me more juiced up like pregame than a crisp IO, whether it's one team or both teams, that like, that it just gets the juices flowing a little bit extra. But
Peter, yeah, you played through high school, correct?
Yeah, I played through high school, and IO was like that was the time for me, because I was done after high school, so I was letting it rip from deep second during IO, showing off my 30 grade arm. And
did we're talking about like the joys of IO? Did you guys ever do the ghost ball IO?
No, we didn't do the ghost ball IO. We had a really vanilla IO routine up at the Belmont Hill School. It was just like, you know, kind of your really vanilla operation. What's the ghost ball? I haven't heard of that.
Yeah, so this was my high school coach, David Miller. He was probably the best coach that I've ever been around. He played a little bit in the minors with the Marlins organization, I believe. He was a pitcher. But we would do this thing called the ghost ball IO, and you basically go through your IO routine with no real ball. You just kind of go through the motions and pretend, and you're like, I think the intention is to just like loosen everyone up and have them relax. So we would do this in practice if it was like really frustrating, or if we just needed everyone to kind of lighten up a little bit. So yeah, you just go through IO with absolutely no ball. You're just kind of imagining the ball taking place, and it's fun. Like, you'll give one guy a real heater of a throw and have your exchange come quickly after he releases, or you'll have like a diving grab up the middle. Like, we get dirty and get into it. I think awesome. we made the third round of the playoffs my senior year, and we were going up against a team that was like far better than we were talent wise. I think we outperformed our talent that year specifically. There was some kid on the mound who was throwing like 90. We didn't see 90 very frequently for us. So it was like, okay, we know what we're getting into. And that game, like, everyone was super nervous. We were very, very jittery. And Coach Miller was like, all right, we're doing a ghost ball infield. And at the time, I was pissed. I was like, no, like, I need these reps. I was playing center field at the time. I was like, I want to see the ball. I want to get comfortable. And we went through it. And it really did, I think, settle a lot of nerves for people. Although I know sometimes the infielders are like, I kind of want to see how the infield is reading here. But no, that's was awesome. I don't think I've seen, I mean, we saw some teams do it in high school and travel ball, I think. I don't know if I've actually seen a college team do that before a game. That might be a little bit egregious for college.
That would be unreal. Next ABCA, you should drop that to Coach Blankmeyer and then
see what he says. He's probably going to hate it because his whole thing is like game reps, right? I'm taking away the ball. He's like, what the hell?
Next thing you know, you see him at like Globe Life or the Round Rock Classic, wherever they are doing ghost ball. Should be awesome. But I never heard of that. I kind of like that, especially at the high school level. Like,
yeah,
I think that would loosen some kids up and not get them as stiff.
And we enjoyed it. And like for the team we had, like no one's really playing from that team. So if nothing else, it was like a fun memory. So
yeah, no, exactly. And it kind of to your point there a little bit, like I really liked how Coach Blankmeyer really puts an emphasis on game like reps and kind of promoting that type of environment. So I could go on and on about the talks that we.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Kind of
sad just, ad and all that.
Just kind of jumping off this IO talk specifically, are there any players either in this draft class or in general that you really enjoy watching take IO? Since I'm throwing it on you, I have a guy like in this year's class, Billy Carlson is always a lot of fun. I think he probably has the best defensive reputation in the class overall. We've got like a 60 on his defense. He's got a 70 arm. He's just uber athletic, super smooth, super snappy. The throws have a ton of carry. And then last year, Wyatt Sanford was a guy who I really liked to see. Watching him in person and then just watching some of the video from the spring that was cut up, like his actions are just so crisp. He was a lot of fun. So I'm not sure if there's any player who you just really enjoyed taking IO. There are some players that are really high effort, high intensity when they do it. And then there's some other guys that almost have this like graceful, lackadaisical, like they make it look so easy. So there are a lot of things to look for. And honestly, just for fun to watch these guys.
Yeah. Good hypothetical. I'm a fan of that one. The guy that comes to mind immediately for me is Merrick Houston from Wake Forest.
Mm-hmm.
Found him a handful of times over the summer. It's the latter description that you had thrown out where it's just like this very loose, like suave, it like looks like the like little kid on Instagram, just like I think to bring up what Coach Blankmeyer saying, like he brought up a point where it's like, you know, sometimes a glove, especially when guys' hips are stiff, it'll look like a magic wand and you can just kind of see the stiffness, but it's like the hips guide the glove. With Merrick, he gets the nose behind the baseball, works through it. The actions are just so smooth. He's got a really strong arm from the six hole. Like, I mean, you could sit there and watch him take ground balls for 45 minutes to an hour. I really enjoyed, you know, seeing him before the game. And then also in game, he's making really impressive plays on a regular basis, just like he did at Wake.
Yeah. Last year he was rated as the, I think, third best infield defender in college baseball among scouting directors. This year we have the ballots out for our preseason All-American teams and best tools. And I think with the returns we have so far, he's like the unanimous choice for best defensive infielder. So I'm curious if there's going to be someone else that'll get a vote or if everyone's going to kind of just no-brainer put Merrick down because, yeah, he kind of is the glove man on the college side.
I bet Merrick will get most, if not all, the votes for this year. But another guy I was going to throw out, he's a 26 eligible, and he might get a vote or two this year. He might not, but I think he'll get a lot of votes next year, is PJ Mutsuritis from Cal. Like,
yeah.
He's a dude, and I know he kind of popped last year, particularly early on, got off to a blistering start for Cal, was their starting shortstop as a freshman. That middle infield duo, Cal's no joke with him and Jaron Advincula. But specifically PJ's defense at shortstop, it's a lot like Merritt. Like, mm-hmm. I'm really excited to see what he looks like, if he can even add like 10 plus pounds, particularly offensively. But he's just this lean athlete. Actions are really, really smooth. Game clock is outstanding. He's got the arm to stick there, but it's really just the hands, the actions. It's all really smooth and fluid, and you know, you leave the yard being like, okay, that's what it's supposed to look like. Like those two guys are no doubt slam dunk pro shortstops, and I think going to be two really good ones at that. And then at the high school level, Slater DeBron, in my look at Jupiter, less so stands out for the arm, but it's like you can get a feel for the baseball sense that he has, like the off the bat reads, the routes he takes. Yeah. They didn't do a huge IO most of the time, the USA Prime and Tiger Scout team. That's not a chirp at them. It's just in that setting, you got to kind of show and go more or less. But spots, when they did, I was impressed with him again, just the off the bat reads, the instincts, you can kind of get a feel for the baseball sense. Like, that's someone who belongs at the position. So those are three that stick out immediately. I'm trying to think of any others, but that's a great hypothetical.
Yeah, I'm trying to think too. Like, I feel like the outfielders have less opportunity to really impress in IO. Like, most of the plays are fairly routine. You don't get a sense of the body control and the footwork as much. It's mostly like a show for the arm for outfielders. And like, the outfield arm is not only like the least exciting tool, I think, of every tool for me, but I can't think of, like, we had Braden Montgomery last year, but I'm trying to think of someone who just like showed a cannon arm. Joe Gray in high school, his arm was really good. He had a lot of carry. I remember being really impressed by him. And that was one of my first years at BA. So I think that was an arm that stood out to me early on. But I'm trying to think if there's any other outfielder, maybe a catcher who I was impressed with.
Connor Burns from now with the Reds, another guy that my looks on the Cape, legit IO, mainly because of the arm. Like, people will say it now, and people were even saying it when he's at Long Beach, but he could catch in the big leagues like today. I mean, he's a 70 defender through and through. The arm strength was what really wowed me, particularly when we're talking about IO, is the arm strength for Burns. Like, it was a BB, like 6 feet off the ground, right through the second base bag.
Yeah, I remember watching him. I think he was at the combine. I believe this is accurate, but he at the combine had an incredibly impressive, like, I mean, they're just doing pops, so it's not like it's a high effort catch and throw there. It's kind of just feeding you the ball, but his footwork and his exchange and his arm accuracy on top of the carry and just the arm strength, like, it was just dialed in every single time. It looked like I was watching it on replay. It was just like no wasted movements at all. You could see, I'm trying to think too, I think, just remember, maybe this is just from watching him more on video, but the way he receives the ball as well. This is less IO and more in-game, but yeah, one of those defenders that just really jumps out at you and is impressive. So, man, I hope you can figure out the offense, because the defense, huge check in ink for me, for really if everyone else who's seen him.
Yeah.
I mean, even if he can't hit, maybe he can be Austin Hedges and then turn around a lengthy MLB career. But yeah, I would love to see him take a step forward to the back, because he'd go from just a really exciting defender to a really exciting prospect overall. Any others before we move on to maybe some quick ABCA like coaching or roster construction news? But if you got any other guys you want to throw out, please do.
Yeah, I think when you brought up Braden Montgomery for the outfield arm, there's nothing like Braden Montgomery this year, but Gavin Turley will let it rip in IO. Mm-hmm. I mean, the arm strength is really impressive with him. Yeah. Just from thinking about through this past summer and the spring, he's got a plus arm over there in right field. But as far as I know, we hit on at least those are the guys that kind of stick out in my mind. I'm sure we're leaving someone off, but those handful.
I'm just kind of scrolling down the list here. Steele Hall is a reclass from 2026, and watching some of the video that Ben had on him from, I don't know if it was last summer, but either way, some of the most recent video, he plays with like a joy defensively. Like, you can see a grin on his face when he's going through IO. I think he has really good actions as well, but those really animated, high energy, just like excited players, it's always fun to watch them.
Love it.
Playing defense as well. Yeah, really love that. It's infectious.
Yeah, and the last guy, and he's not quite Connor Burns, and the Connor Burns, especially collegially, that's going to be really darn hard to replicate. But Luke Stevenson from North Carolina, it's like the actions are all there. He's got an above average and accurate throwing arm, but it's more like with Burns, it was this entire package and is this entire package of actions and arm strength, like almost, you know, as good as you can get. Like with Stevenson, it's more like actions over arm. It's really good feet. It's really good footwork. Like, just like you said, with Burns, it's like no wasted motion. It's like really tight and compact, kind of in the best way, not tight like body stiffness, but just no like wasted efficient movement. Yeah. And yeah, exactly. Quick transfer, strong arm. Like I really like him overall as a player, but he's another one that kind of jumps into my mind.
Yeah. Okay, let's get into some maybe. Do you have any thoughts on the roster discussion that's going around? It feels like rosters at the ABCA was kind of a big sticking point. I'll be totally honest. Like, I have no entertainment or excitement or enthusiasm about getting into the weeds of like college fall ball rosters to the extent that maybe Jacob will have, and maybe obviously the college coaches are much more passionate about. But it really feels like we get so in the weeds on some of these like roster minutia that I really don't care either way. Like, figure it out, guys. Let's get it rolling. But if you had any thoughts, please let me know.
You're kind of preaching to the choir there with that one. I hope that they can come to a solution here quick, but it's like we're talking about, what, 34 versus 38 to 40, I think. So
yeah.
I don't know. I think to an extent, kind of tightening up the rosters by a handful of spots is productive. That's really all I got. I more care about the horses on the team. So
yeah.
Well,
if you do care about this, I know Jacob has been writing about it. He's been reporting on it. So definitely follow along at baseballamerica.com. Okay, let's get in some players maybe. Today's not going to be the longest draft podcast episode that we ever have, but it is the draft podcast. We talked a little defense today. You want to talk some hitters at the top of the class, Peter? Because it did seem a little odd to me. I'm kind of in the early process of researching and getting my data together for our annual contact power and chase rate plotting piece that I think I started for the 2023 class.
I'm a huge class. Fan of it.
Yeah, bad class for me to start that with, because I feel like everyone is trying to just reach that level after the fact. But this year, I noticed it doesn't seem like we have a... Like last year, we had guys like J.J. Weatherholt and Travis... Travis Bazana and Nick Kurtz at the top, who had a really nice, well-rounded offensive package, a good blend of pop and contact ability and strike zone discipline. At the top of the class this year, I mean, maybe there's a player that you can point to, but I don't know that we have that one hitter at the top that's really well-rounded. We have guys who are power over hit, like Jace Laviolette. I'm dipping into the high school player for this conversation because I think some of them fit, but Ethan Holliday, Xavier Nyans. You got guys further down like Nolan Schubart, Ethan Petrie. You certainly have a lot of power, but you don't have that blend of like that Nick Kurtz blend where you kind of can string it all together. You've got a guy like Cam Cannarella, who makes a lot of contact. I mean, Billy Carlson would fall into the contact and maybe questionable pop category. Kasem Cunningham on the high school side, probably the same deal. Eli Willits. There's not one college hitter I can point to that I say I feel really confident about your pure hitting ability, about you having impactful power, and about you having just a solid batting eye. Like if you look at Jace, he's got an excellent batting eye. He takes a lot of walks. He doesn't expand the zone, but there is just more swing and miss. And I think maybe the lack of contact hitters at the top of the class stands out at this point. Now, maybe that's something that a lot of these guys are going to make big improvements on in season, and it'll be a different conversation at the end of the draft cycle. There's going to be a lot of changes that happen, but that did stand out to me, and I was curious if you had the same sort of concerns, or maybe not even concerns, but the composition of the hitters is a lot different than last year's class. And again, this might be the case where Travis Bazana, we probably were not nearly as enthusiastic about Travis Bazana's power before the season started as we were at the end. Charlie Condon, like, he had another season where he hit over 400 and it was just ludicrous. So maybe maybe it's just a matter of comparing these players to different endpoints in their careers.
Yeah, when you brought it up initially, because you had sent like a very like first draft of the plot you do every year, which is an awesome piece, and I really enjoy reading it and your analysis, but it did get me thinking. It's a very interesting point, because it's like you'll get to the point, I think, in the draft this year where it's almost like a would you rather, because like you said, up at the top in terms of well-roundedness, like Cannarella's hit tool I'd give a 60, but power it's a 45. Jace's power is a, I mean, it's a 70, but then the hit tool is a 5. Yeah. And also that's a very like one of one type player and a one of one archetype, mm-hmm. at least initially in this year's draft. And then you start looking further and further down the list, and it's like, you know, are you going to take the above average to plus hit tool and fringe average power? Are you going to take like the plus or better power and the lack of a hit tool? And I mean, you might be, and I think for me, it varies from player to player, because you start getting into the weeds a little bit about like what position they're at, mm-hmm. at the next level and other tools. But I mean, I really have a hard time like getting super juiced up about a guy that is very far behind in the hit tool department. So I mm-hmm. think at least right now for me, like a couple of names that I've circled who could slowly creep their way up boards this spring, if they're not already in a prominent spot, Henry Godbout from UVA. Mm-hmm. He's a guy yeah. that I really like. Like, it's a 6 hit, and then impact wise, it's not going to blow you away. Nothing's going to really jump off the page, but he posted a max EV of 106.4. And then I think that there could be some more impact there in the tank. He had a brief stint on the Cape and put a couple balls out to the pull side. Like, if he can even get it to the average game power, at least to the pull side, that's an intriguing blend. It's not anything like a Travis Bazana, but that's one guy that I've circled. Brandon Compton's another one. If you look at the contact rate and kind of contact ability last year at ASU, it's below average or tick below average, but what mm-hmm. I saw this summer was really, really impressive, both from a raw power standpoint, like easy 6 to all fields, he'll get to it in game, but it was a surprisingly hitterish look in the box. I mean, mm-hmm. pitch recognition skills were really polished, same with his swing decisions. Like, I walked away from seeing him a bunch of times with an easy 5, probably closer to a 55 on the hit tool, so he's mm-hmm. another one. Devin Taylor, I've been saying it for so long now, but like Brandon Compton is way closer to Devin Taylor than people realize, I think, at this point, if they haven't already. But mm-hmm. It's an interesting hypothetical, because like you'll get to a point in the draft where it's like, okay, am I going to want the guy with like, am I going to bet on the power here? Or am I going to bet mm-hmm. on the hit tool and just developing a little bit more power?
Yeah. So last year when we revisited power contact chase at the end of the season, when we had just platform year data, there were 145 players, and the averages of, I'll basically just look at contact rate and 90th percentile exit velocity, but it was 77.9% contact rate, and then 90th percentile exit velocity was 105.6. And I actually upped it a little bit for 90th percentile for these purposes, just because I think it shows that, yeah. So like last year, Travis Bazana, his 90th percentile EV was 108.9, 85.1 contact rate. Blake Burke, 90th percentile, 110, 84% contact rate. Cam Smith, 111.3, 90th percentile, 82% contact rate. JJ Weatherholt, 108.2, 90th, 84.7% contact rate. So I'm really looking for, like, at the top of the class, I'm looking for like 107 plus on the EV, the 90th EV, and then like an 80% plus contact rate. When I look at the data we have this year,
it's going to be a small group.
It's a group that's almost non-existent. Like, I'm just looking at our ranked players who had a 107 mile per hour 90th percentile exit velocity or greater in the 2024 season, and then sorting that group by contact rate, there is a single player that has a contact rate above 80% who meets that EV threshold, and it's Dean Curley. He's at 80.4% contact with 107 exactly 90th percentile mark. Ava Arquette is close. He's at 79.7. So if you wanted to round that up to 80 and include him, that's great. But then you look at other guys in the class who are the big boppers who hit the ball hard. Now I'm kind of going in reverse order from the hardest 90th percentile. Nolan Schubart, 111.6, 90th percent exit velocity, 63.3% contact rate. Like, it's got to come up a lot. Max Williams, 109 EV, 72.9% contact rate. Gavin Turley, 109, 90th percentile EV, 65% contact rate. Ethan Petrie, similar EV, 64.5% contact rate. Like, those are really bad contact rates for those guys. They're going to have to improve. But even guys like Jace Laviolette, I mean, he hits the ball hard up to 109 miles per hour, 90th, 73.5% contact rate. I mean, it probably can work with Jace with that sort of contact rate, just given his batting eye, given the OBP skills. But I know that is a skill that teams who are considering, or maybe team singular, who's considering taking him 1-1, you're going to want to feel good about his ability to make contact in the zone overall. Brandon Compton, 71% contact rate. Bahiva Aloy, 70% contact rate. So just, I think that's, if you had one criticism for the college hitters in this class, it's just a lot of guys that don't make as much contact as maybe you would hope for. And like you had mentioned, you can find those players. Cam Cannarillo makes a lot of contact. Caden Bodine makes a ton of contact.
It's like 40. That's the thing, is like you get juiced up about the contact and excited about the hit tool. And then it's like, okay, 45-ish power.
Exactly. So I'll be very curious to see like what sort of improvements, how does this class look like 5 months from now? Is this going to be a sticking point for the class overall? Or is it going to be a case where, you know, Cam Smith, if we looked at his pre-2024 data, he went from like the absolute wrong quartile of this plot you want to be in his freshman year and was one of the most improved players in college baseball during his draft year. A really impressive year-over-year improvement. So none of these guys are static. I don't think any of these like data points are something you need to like write in pen right now and write them off. We'll see who can improve. That adjustment and that ability to adapt and improve is obviously key for hitters around this age. But that's definitely a specific area of this class that I'm extremely curious about, because I don't know right now if we've got a hitter at the just like top of the class hit tool of any of the top four, maybe even include Jack here. Jack's issue is never contact. It's more of like just an aggressiveness. But yeah, that's kind of where I'm at now.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to follow for sure. And when you brought it up, however many days ago, I sort of like sifted through our like big draft board and getting into the weeds here and playing kind of a game of like, would you rather of player A versus player B? And this won't be as a big surprise really to anyone who listens to it frequently, but like I'm taking the guy with the hit tool and hoping I can develop either A, adding 10 pounds to his frame, B, developing the bat speed. I mean, the like, this is such a drastic case of it, and like not every player that you develop their bat speed is going to be like this, but like you can develop and train bat speed like Christian Campbell with the Red Sox. So like I'm going to take someone who, again, I can add some physicality to, develop the bat speed. Like I'd rather develop someone's power and tweak that than develop a hit tool, because like I think you can either like, not to get too black and white, and you can develop an approach and you can hone in on swing decisions, pitch recognition skills, whatever you want. But like, I think you can either hit or you can't hit. And at some point it's going to get exposed, whether it's college, low A, high A, double A, like you're going to hit a wall where it's like, this dude can't hit. So I'd rather develop someone's power and say, hey, get the ball up in the air a little bit more. Like, hey, let's add, you know, 10, 15 pounds to you over the course of however many months. Let's hone in on your bat speed and develop your path and develop your bat speed, and we'll start generating more impact. It's like, I'm going to take the guy who can hit 12 times out of 10 over the guy that makes contact at like, that basically just has a hole in the barrel of his bat. So
yeah, absolutely. And even for minor league prospects, like power is kind of the last thing to come for a lot of these players. This is why I'm really high on a guy like Jason Chorio with the Guardian system, who just does everything well from like an approach and contact standpoint at the plate, but is still young and still has a projectable body, and hopefully that strength can kind of come and be that final piece. So yeah, I'm kind of, I would say generally I kind of agree with you in terms of just philosophy overall. We're all hoping to see the next Christian Campbell breakout. Maybe that extreme isn't going to happen again for a while. I hope not, because if so, that means we're probably missing on players more often than we'd like to be. But yeah, So we'll see. That's kind of all I had for today, Peter. Anything else you want to mention before we wrap this up and get out of here?
No, nothing major, but I am happy you brought up Dean Curley like really briefly. I'm a big fan of his. Like, it's an intriguing hit power combo.
I think we're a little light on him right now where we have him on the board. He's probably going to be a healthy up arrow guy on our next update.
I like him just in general a lot. I think his overall in zone contact rate last year was like 90%, 93% against fastballs, hit over 300 against fastballs, 94 plus. It's above average raw power. I'd probably say it's plus to the pull side. And I'm just a really big fan of the entire skill set and tool set with Curley. Like, that's a guy that I'd be really close to, if not already there, to sticking a first round grade on him.
Yeah, I'm probably pretty close to there or there as well. So I agree on that point. All right. Well, we're back on the show. We're back in this new year. Thank you guys for following. Hope you all had a really great holiday and maybe some time to just debrief and chill out for a while. But hope you're all as excited for the college baseball season as we are. I know there's a lot of content that Peter, myself, Jacob are working on. We got our college preview magazine in the works now. We'll have top 25 before we know it. We'll have the draft update. We'll have preseason All-America teams. Tons of stuff on the amateur side alone. And we're also rolling out all sorts of prospect content in January. Top 100 is in the works. I think full top 30s are going to be rolling out. So if you're not a subscriber to Baseball America, I would imagine January is like a top 3 month in the year, just in terms of the volume and quality of content that we're getting, just with a lot of big tentpole items hitting the site. So definitely would recommend checking out a sub. But otherwise, just happy that you guys are listening and following along. Peter, anything you want to say, and then we'll get out of here.
No, you summed it up perfectly. Just tons of content, whatever you enjoy, whether it's the pro side or the amateur side. Like, I know, at least for me personally, dropped the top 25 freshmen for college baseball now on Wednesday. By the time you're listening to our next episode, there will be, I think, between 10 and 12 non-Power 4 conference guys to watch that I've written up. That'll be up there. 8 Omaha sleepers is coming soon. And then, like you said, on the pro side, top 100 is kind of on the horizon, and same with every top 30. So just tons of awesome stuff coming here really soon.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, for Peter, I'm Carlos. Let's have a great 2025, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.